You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. I'm your host, Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me. I should say you used to be able to follow me on the Everything app. You can't do that anymore. No, I'm holding out. I think I've decided I'm just gonna wait until they give it back to me. Maybe I'll do the burner. I don't really miss it that much, honestly. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But we're now streaming live on YouTube, Twitch, and the Everything app. You can always listen as well on the Odyssey app, the iHeartRadio app, and the TuneIn Radio app. George Ruggiero, the producer of the program. You can follow him on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon. Jeffrey, how's it going?
Oh, happy Friday to all. The voice that you were hearing just a moment ago belongs to DeMichael Cole, the Commercial Appeal's Memphis Grizzlies beat writer. He's also the co-host of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, episodes available each and every weekday wherever you find your podcast, on the Everything app at DeMichael C. DeMichael, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey. Happy Friday, man.
Happy Friday to all. So we will start out our program with what we normally do. What are we going to be talking about on Friday? We'll take a look at the weekend. I think we'll first start with the Tiger football coaching search. We got the Grizzlies and Clippers tonight. Pregame right here on 92.9 FM ESPN at 6:30. Tip-off with Eric at 7 p.m. We will also have Championship Saturday. And more importantly, we will have the college football playoff field set on Sunday. We're also getting into kind of, I don't know if like we, like last night, I didn't know whether or not to consider last night was like a play-out game. Maybe not a playoff mm-hmm. game, but like, mm-hmm. did the Cowboys maybe play their way out of the playoffs? But it does feel like now we've gotten into December, we got some matchups this weekend where it's like, it's make or break time.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And the
losses hurt a little bit more now.
It's getting late early for a lot of teams. Like that Texans-Chiefs game Sunday Ooh. Night feels absolutely delicious. Mm. Jason Smith writes me in and he wants you to know that Green Bay sucks.
I know it.
Bears games in the next three weeks?
Yeah, just two beatdowns in 3 weeks. It's beautiful. Beautiful.
I was looking at the schedule, and now the problem is the Lions' schedule, so the Lions still have the Rams. I think it's Rams,
they're not,
Steelers.
They're a wild card team.
What I was looking at it, though, is, mm-hmm. and I don't, Jason, with all due respect to your Bears, like I'm not trying to talk down to them, but when you just look at the schedule, it's like
Judgment Day is coming.
Well, Lions Bears Week 18 feels coming. Like it's going to be a play-in.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, the Bears' schedule up to this point has been on the lighter side,
sure,
but because it's backloaded, and you know, I thought they were going to lose last week too. So who am I to say they're going to lose some of these games? But But yeah, it's very backloaded, and I mean they got some tough games coming up. But I mean the Packers do too, so it's gonna be tough sledding for whoever in the NFC. Period. I mean right now four losses is a playoff team. You got 5-6 losses, you're not even in right now.
Well, I mean the other problem for like the Cowboys was if they would have made the moves sooner.
Mm-hmm.
They might actually be in the race for the division.
I have not said this out loud yet, but that is actually a scary – like, people were asking me who would I rather lose yesterday, and you would think I would say Detroit.
But you just wanted the Cowboys out.
Because they have the makings of that wild card team that sneaks in. They got it. Because they – I mean, now the run defense isn't, you know, like magically great now. People were trying to use the last 2 weeks. Like, congratulations, you went against two of the worst – rush offenses
right.
in the NFL. I'm not doing anything with those stats. But they weren't terrible against the Lions, against the run, I don't think. They weren't terrible. They gave up some big ones and whatnot, but when they played the Packers,
I really didn't
get gashed.
I didn't feel like last night the run was the problem for them.
No, it was
they left Amon-Ra in man-to-man, and he killed them.
The biggest problem all season long, the secondary.
And then the Lions did a great job getting Jahmyr on linebackers in the passing game.
Yeah.
It's like that, there
so
was
unfair.
That
so
there
unfair.
Was that one little like you thought it was a check down and you realize like no they
that's
got exactly what they wanted.
Yep.
And then does Deron Bland have to retire?
Oh, I mean, does he do it before Trevon Diggs? I mean, this is
Bland. Last night I was like, man,
I saw a post. You'll like this one. I saw a post. Someone said the Cowboys corners are kind of like the perfect example of you know how they used to say, some people used to say this. I was never this guy, but some people used to say it's okay to give up yards if your corner is making some plays. If you got a corner who gets, you know, it's the old Antonio Cromartie's of the world. Like, if you got a corner who's getting 6 or 7 interceptions, we're fine with giving up 600, 700 yards over the course of the season.
Well, I mean, isn't that what Trayvon was?
That's what he
like,
was.
Trayvon
that's what,
was
that's
just,
what DeRon like, was,
essentially,
too.
Essentially, what we're talking about is like John Morant defense. Yeah. Like, mate, risky.
Yeah.
But big play potential.
Big play potential.
Yeah, no, I
now both of them.
I definitely, yeah. I was like, no, give me the guys that like cover.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll
take a Sauce Gardner.
Yeah,
give me a Sauce Gardner. That's a sore subject around here right now. But
it's okay. He got picks out of it.
Yeah, you got some nice picks.
He's also hurt already.
Yeah.
Which sucks. I mean,
he is pre-Achilles too, right?
It's calf.
It's calf.
Yeah,
it's
pre-Achilles.
Calf. Oh, yeah. Pre-Achilles.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Got some skinny legs for all that too.
Yeah.
Well, I think the other thing
not a lot of extra cushion.
Yeah, give me a Sauce Gardner who's just not going to get interceptions, but who's going to, you know, break
like
up
that
a lot.
Pat Surtain mold. That
yeah.
Like Sting, Pat, I think
that
Pat's
Derek Stingley
I think
mold.
Pat's my favorite.
Stingley and Surtain, like they will
so
lock
good.
You up and get 4 or 5 interceptions. Like,
I think Surtain's my favorite corner.
You a good.
Am I forgetting someone obvious?
Stingley.
Derek Stingley is really
that's
good.
That's 1A, 1B.
Why do I still kind of think of Stingley in like that hybrid mold? Where,
LSU. I don't know.
Is it just because I watched him play
that's what he did at LSU.
Yeah, I guess that's
it. The difference to me is Stingley plays the ball better than anyone I've seen in a long time. Like when the ball's in the air, he's a wide receiver. Surtain, the ball's not even going to get in the air because he just blankets you.
Well, that's my
Christian Gonzalez is also very
good.
Now,
that's a blanket guy, too.
He's phenomenal.
He's
my
a
thing
guy
with,
too.
Yeah. My thing with Surtain is you just like if you watch a Broncos game,
yeah.
The ball never even goes over there.
No.
Everybody's so scared of even throwing on it.
It's like Richard Sherman in 2014. They were like just the right side of the field.
And we don't speak of him.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say the other
one. You mean Earl
too.
Thomas?
Yeah, that guy, too.
Yeah.
We can
Cam Chancellor?
Cam Chancellor.
Yeah. The guys that actually made the defense, but Sherman took all the credit for it.
You should see what George Pickens said earlier.
This is tough when you have to be like, I got to lock arms with George.
Ooh.
Like, but
yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
that's real tough, huh?
It's like, because the truth is, like, what Sherman said, like, I kind of agreed with. Like, there was one round last night where it's like,
The comeback.
Like, what?
Well,
he just stopped. Like, he was
the standstill route.
Like, he was jogging off the line and stopped. Like, that was like the one where it's like, whatever Dak
said. He tried to say they were playing like bracket coverages or whatever.
Well, it's like, whatever Dak said to him, I was like, it's justified.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. Yeah. All right. So we'll get into some NFL because it is a good weekend mm-hmm. of the National Football League. Blake Topmeyer going to join us during the next segment. We'll get his thoughts on Lane Kiffin's move. As well as we got the SEC Championship game, we got Championship Week, and the playoff. We'll get into the list during hour number 2. I watched most of that World Cup drawing. Mm-hmm. We got to talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
There were some things.
Let's talk about it.
That was quite the experience. So we'll get into that. Penn State looks like they are zeroing in, maybe targeting.
I thought they were finalizing.
Finalizing? Okay, they're final.
They're
going
close.
Over the new verbs. We've been going over the new verbs for coaching searches. Like,
it
circling. It's like starts
closing. Closing in is the closing in is like the safe one.
Yeah. Or barring unforeseen circumstances or like barring a change of heart.
That's when you just protect yourself right there. Yeah.
Also, I think we had some pretty big news out of Congress yesterday as it pertains to college sports. We'll talk about that. We'll get in our games of the weekend. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. I think let's start with the coaching search. All right. So in terms of Monday, do we all think, whether or not the coach is introduced yet, do we think when we get back on Monday, do we think we'll know who the Tigers new football coach is?
Man, I want to say yes.
I think so, too, because I think it's now – all right, see if you'll buy this.
Okay.
And for the record, this is not me reporting. This is me speculating.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like I'm at the point now where I know there are some people connecting the dots saying – if they're waiting till Saturday, it's out of respect to Jerry Mack. And I want to be very clear. I think if Jerry Mack were the unquestioned number one choice, I do not think Saturday would matter. Because I think there's the possibility of doing the respectful, like, don't leak it before his team plays tonight.
Because Jerry Mack's not saying no.
Correct. I think Jerry Mack really wants the job, and I don't think an in-person interview would be the difference between him having a job or not.
Yeah, you go about it the right way, but you know what's...
Correct.
He's going to take a job.
We already know one of the other common names that was popping up, Buster Faulkner. Buster is taking the Florida offensive coordinator job with Sumrall.
Yep.
So move that on out.
Mm-hmm.
If it were Charles Huff, Charles' season's done.
Mm-hmm.
So Charles would be announced.
There'd be some movement, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So the fact that they are waiting, it leads me to believe... it's not about Jerry. It is about Dan Mullen. And to be clear, I'm not saying wait on Dan Mullen. Like they're waiting for Dan's season in so they can announce it. I'm saying they might be waiting to make their last ditch push for Dan Mullen.
For Dan Mullen. Yeah.
And it's possible that you're in this position where powers that be say, we want the no from Mullen before we move on to whoever the other choices would be.
Yeah, and you're afforded that if Mack is somewhere in your top three.
Correct.
You can do that.
Now, this is the other question, and so I guess maybe we'll move the Penn State stuff up to here.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought Mullen was on the outside looking in, but there were still enough, like, I feel like it wasn't impossible that Mullen could have wound up back on the Penn State radar again. But, because he was once upon a time on their radar.
I mean, everybody's been on their
radar. Now we know that it's Matt Campbell. My question, though, and George brought this one up. Do we think Dan Mullen and Iowa State is now at play? Because, I mean, Campbell's now been there.
Iowa State is somewhere 10 years? Can go. You can go win 9-10 games and survive.
Heck, Gene Chizik won 5 and he got the Auburn job.
You can survive over there. So
Campbell was at Iowa State from 2016 until now.
So this was his 10th season.
Yeah.
Yes.
If I did the math right,
And I want to see what his buyout is, because there was also that came out with Dan Mullen, where if you were to go to a Power 4 job, the buyout is larger than if you were to go to another G6.
Really? But, I mean, it's worth pursuing Dan Mullen, without a doubt. Like,
I'm so – I guess this is where
– if you're Dan Mullen
– it's 2.
If you're Dan Mullen, is
– so, 2 – hold on, let's do the math. What did they get from Arkansas for Ryan? Like $1.5 million?
Something like that.
And then I think I think Arkansas is going to have to pay a Cramsey buyout. So, let's say it's like 5 – let's say they've got $2 million for – $2 million from buyout money to spend on whatever buyout they would go get.
That is exactly the same as Iowa State with Matt Campbell.
All right.
Identical. The money works.
All right, sorry. Back to your Mullen.
No, it's just it's a situation where I do understand pursuing him. Right, you go for it, and there are connections right with Mullen, specifically in the South. Like, I do think that there is the idea that he could want to coach again in the South. Like, you talk about Iowa State as opposed to coming to Memphis, but you just said it yourself. We're talking about Penn State being a school that's possibly had interest in him before. Iowa State maybe is a school that circles the wagons. Why would he be in any rush to get something done by Monday?
I mean, I think and also you also have to do like the, mm-hmm. okay, well, even if maybe he doesn't want Iowa State, but maybe the person that Iowa State would want, maybe where that person was coming from would be more attractive.
Who's Mullen's agent? Is it?
Come on.
Is it Sexton?
Of course.
Oh, well yeah. Monday is... I doubt it. Monday? No. But if he's the guy, highly doubt Monday now, with that being the case.
I mean, I think Mullen's a very good coach. I mean, I was the person that was covering Ole Miss and in the midst of the heat of Freeze versus Mullen, and I was like,
oh, what a
the
time.
Better actual football coach is that one.
What a time.
Boy, let me tell you what. Egg Bowl Twitter, circa 2015, was quite the place.
Oh, I remember those days.
I guess everyone, there does seem to be the question about fire in the belly.
Yeah.
The fact that he's come back and actually won, like, I'm not all that concerned about it.
Think like, no.
The only concern that I would actually have is this. Getting Dan Mullen's going to be a lot more expensive.
Yeah, 100%.
And I know we do the whole, well, it doesn't come exactly. It's one of these situations that I was explaining to Calkins this morning. I feel like this.
And how long does he stay?
I only say this. I care zero about that.
When it comes to Memphis.
Because if, like, let's say Dan wins the conference.
Yeah.
And leaves. Cool.
He won the conference.
He won the conference and he left. And by the way, here's a billboard.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants it next?
Mm.
Because then you're talking about.
All these coaches have correct. Left here. And yeah.
Correct. And it just makes it that much easier.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like it is the safest. My concern with Dan is how much of, I know we talk about NIL kind of doing the recruiting for you. It's never.
You don't think he has the heart all the way to be no, that grinder.
It's more of, I think Dan values coaching
more
like,
than
yes.
He's on the Dabo Sweeney side of this.
But it's a little different because I do think Dan is schematically, like, I think Dan is a very good football coach.
I do too.
I think he's a great play caller.
Yeah,
like,
he gets a little too pretty sometimes.
Yeah, he certainly can get cute. Mm-hmm. But I do think when you watch his teams play, they do stuff that makes sense.
Oh, for sure.
And, like, he's had some creative stuff in the run game even this year where, like, he's been bringing receivers and running, like, counter out of it. Like, it's been stuff that's like, cool.
Yeah.
And good. It's more of this, I do think, is a player's job. And I think in the Mountain West, you can still kind of coach it up.
Player's coach, yeah.
Mm. Or it's like.
Schematically, he's there.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's like in the Mountain West where I don't think there is not just a roster that athletically.
Yeah, there's. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like it is kind of who's the better coach.
Yeah.
Whereas in this league, it's more times than not, it's like, who's got the better players?
Yeah, you can have a decent coach.
Right. Just,
I mean, Ed Orgeron went 15-0.
I mean, and again, if you told me he wants the job, I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
I also, give me a chance to fire up. I have a gift from when they beat Ole Miss 55-20 in the 25th or 16 Egg Bowl. That ended up being Freeze's last game. That was when my phone started going, hey, have you checked into Hughes' personal life? That was when I was like, ooh, Hughes in trouble. there's a gif of him talking about where he found Nick Fitzgerald.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, UT Chattanooga. That's where he was committed. And he has a gif of like him with a cigar.
Uh-huh.
And I've got to find that. I can dust that one off because it's an all-time.
Fitzgerald was the 2016 quarterback?
Correct. It was just like he was starting as like a freshman.
Uh-huh. I remember.
And he just lit him up. I mean, he ran like quarterback counter for like 200. Like that game was 55-20, but if State wanted to make it like 70-20, like Mullen actually called the dogs off. Like, it was
in the Egg Bowl.
I know. Well, I think they got tired of scoring. Yeah. And it was just like making the game long. I think they were ready to just kind of go and celebrate.
Yeah.
Does anyone have a problem with the scenario that I laid out? That seems to me like what's happening.
I don't get a problem with it. You know.
No, that it seems like that's probably the most likely situation going on. I mean, the only other part of it that I'm kind of looking at for the Iowa State portion of it is, at getting into this carousel at this point in the process, who all else is even out there that a program, like an actual P4, like it's mm-hmm. a Big 12 program, mm-hmm. is going to be, not just be able to, but going to go out and get to maintain that level of funding?
Well, I think it'll be a question of...
Because it's not like Iowa State's a poor team by any means.
No, but mm-hmm. will Iowa State want... Because there's always this question of when successful coach leaves... Like, my thing is, I don't think you have to blow up a good culture just because the coach left.
No.
Now, that's true.
I also don't think that means that you just go and you find, like, who's the next guy in the building. Mm-hmm. But I do think that that is a reasonable thing to say.
For sure.
If you have someone competent.
Yeah.
But, like, that doesn't mean, like, in general I'm in favor of just giving whoever the interim would be the gig. But, like, I do understand if you're, like, we worked really hard to build this successful culture.
Yeah.
There's no reason to blow it up if you have someone that can continue it.
Yeah.
Now, when Memphis was trying to do it with Ryan, I was the one raising my hand being like, Ryan would not be up for any other job. Mm-hmm. Except for this one. Mm-hmm. Now, Ryan got another job out of it, and cool, moving on. But I don't even know, like, what Iowa State... Does anyone even know their coordinators?
No, that's why I just looked it up.
Like, isn't it funny? Like that is
Matt Campbell, man.
But, like, it's also, I would kind of think that would be coordinators that you would know.
Must be a notable name.
No, it's not that. It's that it's, like, their defensive coordinator is John Haycock, who's been there for 10 years, as in he got there with Campbell. I don't know if he would stay without him. And I'm looking for an offensive coordinator, and I don't see one.
That checks out.
Yeah.
When you watch Iowa State offense, you're like, it doesn't. I mean, here's my thing with Campbell. I respect what he does. Like, from an offensive perspective, he actually teaches football. Like, mm-hmm. this is part of the reason why I had such a problem embracing Purdy.
Oh, wait, I found it.
Who is it?
Taylor Mauser.
Of course. Who could forget? I do think, like,
well.
Unlike in today's football, which is
any bumps
no at all,
no, those are just guys that have been there the entire time.
Looks like they're making an external hire. looks like those will be. I think I just found Penn State's new defensive and offensive coordinator. But like in football today, now where it's like largely just schemed up, and it's like you're throwing to this guy or you're check down or running.
Yeah,
he makes like his quarterbacks can read the whole field, like. Mm-hmm. And I do think, like, when Purdy got to the NFL, part of his advantage and why he had success quickly is, unlike most of these guys that are just like, where's my one-on-one?
Yeah. He's put in a lot of tough situations in college.
Correct.
I mean, the numbers kind of showed it.
God, when you watch Brock down to down, you're just like, I don't have the Brock Purdy gene. Mm-hmm. Like, I just kind of wonder, it's like, even though I would like my son playing in that system because I think it would teach them better football.
Yeah.
I also acknowledge, like, that's not the best way to win. The best way to win is to run stupid RPOs mm-hmm. where you can cheat and you can have your lineman go 7 yards downfield and throw a post behind it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how you get these massive explosives. Like, that's how you win. But, like, I also don't think that makes the best football players.
It's like when you're playing for, like, Calipari in college, and you're playing for this free-flowing offense, or going to play for, like, Beeline.
Right. No, or like, exactly. Like, Beeline or McCollum. Like,
yep.
Mm-hmm. Do I think those guys might have better understanding of, like, floor spacing mm-hmm. and, like, making the right play?
Yeah.
Sure. Do I also acknowledge, like, that's a tough watch?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Like, I totally agree with that. All right. So, now let's get to the other home team. They return to the floor tonight. Let's get to the team that DeMichael covers. So, we got the Grizzlies returning to home tonight, taking on the Clippers. And it is kind of interesting to note that despite the fact that, like, there's no one I think that's, like, going, you know, look out, Thunder, here come the Grizzlies.
Yeah. Right,
but the fact that, like, they just had a solid road trip. 3-1. They did not.
They've had this season.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they just look better. Mm-hmm. It is interesting to see them coming home. And it's like, it feels like we've lost the sense of dread or obligation of having to watch the team.
Yeah. Isn't that a good feeling?
Like, yes.
It's, I mean, 2 weeks ago, we were like, what's the identity? And no one could answer the question because it's like the offense looks terrible.
Apparently the answer was all just Zach Edey.
Just throw him in there and everything will change. I mean, he's been incredible. And I mean, he is the identity at this point. But yeah, they look much better. And there's the cautionary part of it with, yeah, they're winning, but they have 9 wins and 8 against teams that are under 500.
But and, like, I guess that's my other thing.
At the same time,
I'm fine with that.
They're winning.
Well, and also, like, it seems like there's a lot of teams that are going to be bad this year because it seems like there's a lot of teams watching the college basketball right now going like, these guys are pretty.
I want that guy. I want
these guys are pretty good.
It's so many of them, man. But yeah, I think they're in a solid spot and they got a chance. Like when you talk about when they come out of December, there's a solid chance they could be 500 or even or over 500.
Well, I mean, right now 9-13 is that right?
9-13 right now.
9-13 and they're up to 9th.
Yeah, they're 9th. They're tied with Portland, and they play Portland on, I think, Sunday. Yes, they play Portland on Sunday. So,
all right, so we know Ja is now day-to-day, correct?
Day-to-day, yep. So,
all right, so what we're thinking, like, in the next week?
Next two games, for sure. If not Sunday, I mean, it would make sense for him to miss Sunday because you got a whole week pretty much until that next game on Friday and then have him back after a couple practices.
The old mini-bye like we've seen in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm with you on that. I think this is the biggest question, though. What does it look like when Ja returns?
To me, so when you talk to the players, like Vince Williams was talking about it yesterday, and this is something that I wanted to hear. It's one of those. It's with these players. Sometimes I want to hear them say things that I don't ask because some things need to just be understood, right? And Vince Williams was talking about the conversations he and Ja has, and one of the things that I was waiting on him to mention was they gotta be having conversations about getting Zach Edey the ball. Like, that's got to be happening. And he mentioned it. So it's like, okay. So now you know when Ja comes back, he's watching, he's seeing Zach Edey turn into this super dominant, almost Purdue-like force in a way. And
junior year Edey.
Oh.
There were some people over the summer that had the take.
Oh, man. Did you?
Oh, yeah.
You're bold, man.
I've watched way too much Edey in college.
Yeah. You're bold, man. That's – I mean, he's been incredible. I saw the leap. I'll give you that. I saw the leap, but this is next level. Now
part of it though was also my biggest issue with Zach last year was he couldn't catch the ball, and I was like, I've never seen Edey have.
You knew,
like,
that was correctable,
right?
Yeah.
Like, I think it was probably mental to a certain degree.
Mine was how they were using him.
Yeah.
Every time he stood at 3-point line, and I thought it was scratched
also,
my head.
Well, it was also the inconsistency of minutes and,
start
like you said, roll.
This game,
yeah. Exactly.
Brandon starts the next game.
I thought when he got like some consistency and whatnot, like it would
end of the
solidify.
Season. It was there. But yeah, I think Ja comes back, and I mean, it's I really can't wait to see what Zach Edey and that how that two man works, because it's funny. When that first game against Cleveland, when we saw them play together for those 5 or 6 minutes.
Six and a half, yeah.
Yeah. That was the best Jaws looked, like,
yeah,
from
totally.
A decisive standpoint, against a really good defense, too. So it's like, at the time, the thought was, man, Jaws going to make Zach look so much better. It's flipped now. It's like, oh, Jaws been struggling this year. Now when he gets to play alongside of Zach Edey, with all the attention that Zach is commanding, and Ja is going to get him the basketball, that's not going to be an issue. I think it's going to make Ja look better. So I think that's kind of the thing that it's going to be centered around. We do so much talking about Jaren and Ja coexisting. Let's talk about Zach Edey and Ja coexisting. That's going to be the
– Well, then I think the other aspect of it is, like, all right, how nervous is everybody with the calf? You know what I mean? Because it does feel like that this one was at least bullet dodged.
Yeah, it was.
Because especially like when you consider, like, Ty's still not.
I mean, yeah, they're still happy. Did you see Giannis the other day? Like, that was, he just fell to the ground. Like,
I thought, yeah, I didn't even think we were going to find out Giannis was a calf. I thought we were going to read that it was just torn Achilles.
Yeah.
Because he went down. Mm-hmm. Like he had the, he had like the
everywhere right now.
Like the sniper. Like when you see it, yep. And it's like up.
But I thought the same thing with Sauce too. It looked like the sniper one.
No, that's true.
Oh boy.
Well, I did think the same thing with Branch, and that did last night.
Yeah.
When can the Lions get?
They can't. They can't.
Like yes, the front's healthy this time. Now the secondary. Like, can they just get 1 year where
it was the front? Yeah. I hate that. I hate that footer because
yeah, you sound like it.
They're a talented team, man. Like it's
my boy Goff was cooking last night.
He was slicing and dicing.
The chef was in the spice rack.
He was slicing and dicing. Oh. 10 yards here, 15 there.
It's a 7-course tasting menu. Oh, the throw after the interception to start the second half. Mm. The wheel route to slot. Oh.
Money.
Oh, it was a dot, as the kids say. Yeah.
I was not the happiest with at least one part of that Lions offense last night.
The run game.
Yep.
Who would you have, Montgomery?
No.
Do you have like a total an
I
over?
Gibbs over. Like,
oh, I was
six.
Like, I was thrilled. He's on my fantasy team.
Yeah, because Gibbs is still 30, getting. He still got points.
He got 3 touchdowns. Yeah.
I took rushing, not all purpose.
Oh.
And thing is, all other 3 parts of the parlay came to home.
Yeah, that's a rough one, man.
That one hurt.
Especially when he's scoring touchdowns like that.
Oh, don't worry. Anytime touchdown. Anytime for him, anytime for Javonte.
That had to be minus money, though, right?
It is. It is.
Yeah.
I parlayed him.
But if you, you either parlay it or you do the multiple. Like,
it was the parlay.
Somebody like Gibbs, you got to do
it. It was.
It's hard enough to win one bet. Let's put 2 together.
Joke's on you. It was 4.
Yeah, let's rack and stack them. There's a big plus sign. I'll take that. Okay. So then the other thing that we can talk about before we get to Blake,
mm-hmm.
and we'll preview it with, do we think tonight and tomorrow we're getting chaos? Or do we think, I guess we should define what chaos would be. Duke winning, how would they handle that? Because like
scratch his head.
Like, let's go through. It's pretty clean. Like, for tonight, it's like, whoever wins the American, that team's getting in.
Yep, yep.
And then if JMU wins tonight and Duke wins tomorrow,
that's
then we start to see a question. Mm-hmm. How are they going to handle Notre Dame, Miami?
Mm-hmm.
Does BYU, I think part of our chaos has to be BYU upsetting because that's an extra bid.
That's extra bid. Yeah, if BYU wins, that's...
Because Alabama
that's
Georgia,
like a bit stiller.
Do any of us really believe Alabama's got a chance of getting knocked out? I guess maybe if they
it can't happen.
It feels like if they get beat by like 30 and Simpson gets hurt. But I'm also, I don't really think either team's going to blow the other out.
Not from what we've seen.
No, I think that's right. I mean, that was the situation we talked about with Cobb yesterday was
you can't.
Really the only way is if every other team that's not in right now ends up winning. Oh, and also Alabama just gets, 40-pieced.
I don't think it even matters what the other teams are. If Alabama, like you said, if they don't get blown out and they look respectable, you can't do that. The committee cannot. You can't set that precedent where losing in a championship game, SEC championship, Big Ten championship, whatever, is the ultimate decider.
What if? Hang with me here. Mm-hmm. We are all kind of also in agreement because there's this reality. If Alabama wins tomorrow in the afternoon, our number one, number two game of the weekend, they literally could agree, like, this is a scrimmage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it won't matter.
I think they literally, I just think whoever wins is one and whoever loses is 2.
Let's agree to play our backups.
Right. Like, let's
Mendoza, do your first half Heisman thing and then Saling, do your first half Heisman thing.
Split it up. Just say, and you get the first half Mendoza, you get the second.
I don't think this would happen, but if I'm Ryan Day and I know that Jeremiah and Tate have been banged up, and I can basically get a month.
It's a bye week.
I'm thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Man.
Now, I get it. They're competitive. They want to play, but, like, I would be thinking about it.
I would, too.
So the reason why I bring it up is, what if...
I play them, but I think about it.
Still what playing. If you drop one of these teams from the championship game to set a precedent of... Because, like, we've been acting like these are meaningless. Everyone's thinking like of adding positive stakes. Why don't we add some negative, some consequences?
Because if you do this, you can't get mad when Alabama, LSU, Tennessee all start scheduling Sacagawea State for 4 weeks.
But I heard they got some NIL money.
Yeah,
I heard they're on like it's like I heard them in like Sacramento State, like they're on the up and up. Yeah,
yeah.
Like they got a donor apparently that was into crypto.
Sacramento State? I'm not surprised.
Sacagawea State or whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Been hearing that. Watch out for them. There'd be an SEC team that would try to sell it. Like, come on. All right, let's talk about this with Blake Topmeyer. We'll do it next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast. And if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Blake Topmeyer is the senior national college football columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. His podcast, SEC Football Unfiltered, episodes available each and every week wherever you find your podcast, on the Everything app at B Topmeyer. Blake, we now know that Lane finally decided on Sunday morning to go to LSU. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I think Lane probably decided a couple Sunday mornings ago to go to LSU. But yeah, I mean, I think this was always in some ways going to happen for Lane Kiffin. I just never bought, I don't think you did either, that he was going to retire from Ole Miss at the ripe old age of 65. Whether it was LSU now or something else a year from now, or if Florida would have offered him last year, I think he'd be the Florida Gators coach today. And, you know, I think for Lane, after he got fired from Southern Cal, there was probably some wondering of whether he would ever get a chance at a program like that again. And I think he's thought a lot over the years about leaving Tennessee after one season. And as good as he made Ole Miss, and we can question whether this will be the better move for his career, I think there's good debates on both sides of that. But I think in his mind, this was an opportunity to get back to one of those monster programs like he'd been at in the past. And just knowing him, I think it was always going to end this way. If he had a chance, was LSU this year or something next year, he was always going to eventually wind back up at a program like this, I think.
No, I think you're right. Like, He hit the over. Like, honestly, I mean, if you would have told me he was at Ole Miss more than 3 years, I'm not sure I would have bought it when he got hired. So it hit the over. I'm with you. Do you like the fit, though?
I think I like it. I don't love it. I love.
Also, do you care about fit?
I do care about fit. I don't care about it to the highest degree. Like, I think there's this urge now, like with everything in life, right? It either has to be all or nothing. You know, some people are like fit's everything. Other people is fit is nothing. And I think it's in between. I think fit does matter. I don't know if it matters as much as it used to when, like, you'd coach your alma mater for 25 years and whatever. Like, I don't think it matters to that degree, but I do think it matters some. If you're a bad fit, you're not getting any favors, right? You're not giving yourself any leg up if you're a bad fit. You can overcome it, but you're not getting the X factor, the advantages. So I think it matters some. I like the fit. I don't love the fit. I would have loved the fit at Florida, other than the fact that I don't think Scott Strickland and Lane Kiffin would hit it off. If they would have hit it off, I think Lane Kiffin would have been the coach at Florida years ago. But other than that, I would have loved the fit for Lane Kiffin at Florida. At LSU, I think LSU is going to like the Lane experience at first. And as long as he wins big, they'll be fine with the Lane experience. If he doesn't win to the level that is expected, which is the highest level, I mean, they just fired a guy who won 70% of his games there, Brian Kelly. You know, I think the Lane experience could sour. And I think, like, Lane thinks he can handle, like, the politics of the LSU job. I think he thinks, like, oh, yeah, getting along with the governor, that'll be no problem. Having the governor's mansion a couple miles from campus, that's no problem. But, like, he's not used to that. You know, he was the king of the manor in Mississippi, and no one really challenged him. This will be, I think, a little bit different. But I do like the fit. Like, he is a showman, and I think LSU likes a showman. I mean, he's a much different type of showman than Kim Mulkey, and he's not from the state like Kim is. But when you think about, like, big personalities, yep. I mean, they got the biggest personality in women's basketball, and they got one of the bigger ones in football. So I don't love the fit, but I like the fit.
No, I think you're spot on. Like, first off, it's like, what, define fit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm with you on that. Because my thing is, like, do I necessarily care whether or not you have the same regional accent as the people? Like, no, I don't. But do I care that you might be someone that has an antisocial personality and I think that that job calls for the politician? Yeah, I kind of care about that. Like, do you have the type of personality that appeals to the fan base matters to me, because I think that's where, in the end, like, people vote with their wallets and that's how you get the money. But, like, in terms of whether or not I think somebody's from the same region, and, like, I've never cared about that. Nick Saban seems to have been a pretty good fit in Baton Rouge and in East Lansing and in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing I wonder about, this isn't so much a fit thing, but it goes along with being the coach at LSU. I wonder how Lane will do with the heightened expectations.
My next point was, the one thing that I'm worried about with Lane, I think you look at Lane and you think of Lane kind of as a front runner, but I actually think he's at his best when he's kind of in the underdog, chip on his shoulder role. Like, I think when he's out in front with expectations, like, you look at it, I'm not saying that USC team should have been number one, because if you looked at the number of scholarships they lost, everything, like, that was bad prognosticating by the media and the coaches. But, like, last year at Ole Miss, there was no reason that team should not have been a playoff team. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't love out in front Lane Kiffin.
You're spot on. I mean, his best job at Ole Miss was with the team that a lot of us didn't think was going to make the playoff this year, and the team that we all thought should have made the playoff, they blew it. They blew it against Kentucky. They blew it again against Florida. And I think Lane wants to be front runner Lane, but I agree with you. Like, he is at his best when he's in the underdog role. And the other thing is, too, you know, you'll hear Lane say, well, no one expects more of me than I expect of myself, you know, sort of that cliche. Uh-huh. But, like, I don't know that he loves the unrelenting expectations. Like if he goes 9-3 and nobody's really happy with that, I think he's going to wonder, well, why aren't people happy with that? Even though he knows full well why they're not happy with it. You know, I do think that could be difficult. Now, what I will say is what we've seen through this entire exercise is that ESPN, which is obviously the most important media outlet when it comes to college football, they will run propaganda for Lane, you know, I think at all costs. So he will have, even though the expectations of the job are higher, he will have the biggest megaphone in the sport, you know, working as a glorified mouthpiece for him, as we saw throughout this process. So I do think he enjoys a little bit of an advantage there. But in some of the non-ESPN circles, you know, he's going to be subject to a lot more criticism and scrutiny and expectation than he ever was at Ole Miss. And I'm curious to see how he handles that, because I've written about this. Like, when Lane, this was obviously many, many years ago, but when he had jobs of this magnitude in the past, that did not work out. I do mean as a football coach that those weren't the best years of his coaching career, but I also think personally they didn't bring out his best qualities either. Now, that years have happened in between then, and I buy that he's evolved a little bit. I don't buy half the narrative. I think some of that's false, but still, we've seen in the past these types of jobs and expectations haven't brought out the best in him.
Okay. I don't know if there's anything we could say about Lane, Kevin, that hasn't been said. I think he's had plenty of coverage. Buy or sell this: Kentucky made the second most interesting hire.
I buy it. Yeah, I think they absolutely did. Doesn't necessarily mean you know your phrasing of your question was good. Second best hire? I have no idea.
Yeah, exactly. I'm interested.
I'm interested.
I'll take your literature on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you probably know, you know, on the pod, John Adams and I will play a game, a round of love it, like it,
uh-huh,
or no thanks. And I asked John, do you love this hire, Will Stein? Do you like it or no thanks? And John said, I need a new category. I have no clue.
It's provocative.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I feel about it. Like, at least I'm interested because at least Kentucky did something. Like, they could have kicked the can. They could have kicked the can for another
And it would have been totally
Marcus
prudent. You know what I mean? Like, if they would have sat there and said, guys, we were one play away from another bowl game. Y'all be fine with this. Mm-hmm. Let's not spend $38 million. I don't think anyone would have gone like, they're stupid. Like, but I get it. Like, this was interesting.
Yeah, I would have understood that, but it would have been incredibly boring to watch.
Correct.
The go 4-8 or 5-7 for one more year on the slow march to a firing. So, yeah, this is kind of wild. Will Stein, I mean, he has no head coaching experience at any level. Like, I had in my mind, oh, he was a high school coach. But then I went back and double-checked his resume. It's like, no, he wasn't the head coach. He was the OC at a Texas high school. So, you know, no head coaching experience at any level. But, hey, that's worked before. You know, there's this. It's in vogue now for all these schools to try to hire sitting head coaches, but it wasn't that long ago when it was in vogue to hire the hotshot coordinator, and this guy falls into that category. And the other thing is too, I maybe overplay this, but I always like coordinators that are the head coach of that side of the ball.
Yep, I'm with you entirely. Because Dan, it appears Dan lets Will do whatever he wants with offense.
Exactly, and so it's like, hey, I know this guy can run an offense because that's what he's been running Oregon's offense. It's not like you were kind of the wink offensive coordinator, but the head coach was really doing it all. Like, no, he was running the offense, and they've had an exciting offense for three straight years now, and he's worked with three good quarterbacks, one after another. I was kind of joking with someone I was talking to, an AD, not Mitch Barnhart at Kentucky, but just a different AD this week, and we were talking about the possibility of Will Stein at Kentucky, and this AD said to me, didn't he go and play for Louisville? And I said, well, that doesn't matter. They'll come up with some story about how he grew up.
100%.
A Wildcat.
He was at every game at Kroger Field.
Yeah, sure.
Didn't
enough,
miss a game for like 10 years.
Yeah, sure enough, at the press conference, yeah. Yeah, he was rooting for the Cats.
He bleeds blue, baby. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he was. I'm not calling him.
Yeah, player, I know. It's like the story then becomes like, I know he didn't say this, but it's like, yeah, when Louisville played Kentucky in basketball, I was in the student section with Kentucky. Like, it's like, yeah. I'm going to need to see some picks, Will.
But you can play that game.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I do think the fact that he's from Louisville, I don't care that he went to Louisville. Half the people in Louisville are Kentucky fans. And so I think that helps. We were talking about fit with Lane Kiffin. Again, it's not everything, but it doesn't hurt you to be Kentucky's coach and to be from Louisville and to have played at Louisville. You know the terrain. So, and the other thing is, I mean, my goodness, when was the last exciting quarterback Kentucky's had? We really have to go back quite a ways to find the last exciting Kentucky quarterback.
Well, I was reminded this week that Mike Hartline was Brian's brother. When Brian got the USF job, I was like, oh, totally forgot that they were brothers. The last exciting one, God, was it Woodson?
It probably was.
Because Woodson,
Randall Cobb was exciting when he got back there.
But like with Woodson. Woodson was exciting in that he had an absolute cannon, and he just, like, let it rip all the time. It could have gone into triple coverage, could have gone into double coverage, could have gone to his receiver. Like, you had no idea where it was going, but you were at least interested.
Yeah, I mean, since then, the most exciting thing was when they put Lynn Bowden in the Wildcats.
That's our answer. When they won that bowl game against Virginia Tech, and I think they threw, like, one forward pass.
They went 10-3 that year,
yes!
Memory serves, and they didn't have a quarterback.
It's insane.
The glory days of the Mark Stoops era. But no, I totally agree. Getting back to the original question, this is the most interesting. I this might be more interesting than Lane Kiffin is a more interesting human. But as far as his hire, this one's super interesting. I mean, Alex Golish and Auburn, like, okay, that might be fine, but that's like hiring 101. You know, Florida. Getting John Sumrall, if you couldn't get Lane Kiffin, again, hiring 101.
Sensible. Yeah.
This is a bold shot for Kentucky, which might have been the absolute best hire they could make. It might go horribly, and if it does, well, I hope the buyout's not too big and you fire him in 3 years and try again.
You know what, this is going to come off like condescending to Kentucky, but I don't mean it this way. With Will Stein, he is the big name in the offensive coordinator circle. That was not going to change by next year. I have a pretty good feeling Oregon was going to have another good offense next year because Oregon's going to have good players. The fact that somebody that was still probably going to be in the same spot chose to go to Kentucky, I don't care about where you're from. The fact that he wanted the Kentucky job makes me interested because it's like, what do you know that I don't?
Yeah. No, that's right, because, I mean, he was kind of a hotshot, trendy name. I can't imagine that Kentucky was going to be his only opportunity on the dance card. And so did he just want to coach in the SEC that badly that he's like, yeah, sure, why not? I'll do it. Or like you said, does he know something that we don't, that he thinks all of Mark Stoops crying for the last few years about having no funds,
that he thinks he
can change that? I don't know. And if he does think that, he might be wildly mistaken, or maybe not. Maybe there's more money in the banana stand.
There's always money in the banana stand, Blake.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to take money out of Mark Pope's pocket out of basketball.
Well, they keep losing.
Well, good point. Good point. But that's the thing people forget about is, like, there's not a finite amount of money. I know the ADs will always say that. The ADs will say, like, wow, there's only so much money. And it's like, really? Because I haven't seen it tapped out yet. Stock market's on a heater still, from what I can tell.
How many buyouts did y'all just pay?
Yeah, exactly. So
there's no money. By the way, here's $38 million in one check.
Right, yeah, and forget your score act up on Capitol Hill. They've seen that in fact that you guys don't need desperate help. Everything must be going fine if you can write $50 million buyout checks. So, this one kind of slipped under the radar, I feel like, because it's Kentucky, and also because it came at the end of the flurry of hires. But it's an interesting one.
All right, I'll let you go with this. So we have actual football tomorrow. We got number one versus number two, and I'm obviously going to watch it because I watch football. But, like, it does feel like we've taken the wind out of the sails. Like, it doesn't feel consequential at all. But let's get to the actual SEC championship game. So we got Alabama and Georgia, and maybe I'm Charlie Brown, and the Alabama-Georgia game is going to be Lucy pulling the football out from underneath me. I kind of think Georgia's going to do it tomorrow.
Oh, wow. You think Georgia's going to win?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I feel like maybe this is just simple thinking, but I feel like Alabama peaked about 6 weeks ago.
This has been my exact point. It feels like one team's ascending and the other team's descending. And right. They're still good. They're both good teams. I'm not saying Alabama stinks. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. No. I think so. And Georgia. I mean, they didn't play great against Georgia Tech, but I mean, I never really felt like that game was in too much danger. Like, there was a point in the Iron Bowl where I'm like, Alabama's in danger of losing here.
It weirdly, see if you agree with this. It felt like the reverse Oklahoma game for Alabama, where instead of Auburn's the one that's moving the ball up and down the field, but turning it over, mm-hmm. and Alabama right. did like just enough to win.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah, they look bad against Oklahoma. They look bad in a different way against Auburn. They couldn't move the ball against Auburn. Oklahoma, they had the yards and they had the turnovers. I don't know. I mean, on Alabama's best day, I still don't know if they could beat Ohio State. I don't know if there's a couple other teams maybe they could beat, but like on their best day, I still think they're pretty good. I don't trust that I'm going to get their best day. I guess I'm starting to trust Georgia a little bit more, which surprises me a little bit because that was a team late September going into October. I thought, boy, I don't even know if it's a playoff team at Georgia this year. But they got it rolling, which, I mean, that's sort of Kirby for you. I mean, how many times haven't we thought that about different teams of his over the years? Is they'll play possum a little bit, and by the end of the season, they're playing pretty well. This still isn't Georgia of the back-to-back national championship teams, but yeah, I think I trust them more than Alabama at this point. And then it becomes the whole playoff thing. Is Bama fine with a loss? I think that's obviously why the committee flipped Notre Dame and Bama. Is what if BYU wins? They don't want to have to boot the SEC runner-up, so they flip with Notre Dame. Sorry, what Hunter Dyrchek said about Kalen DeBoer's fourth down play call that had nothing to do with them flipping the team. Don't buy that for a second. But I think Alabama's probably safe for the playoff either way.
Well, don't forget, Blake, they had a 17-0 lead.
Yeah, they had a 17-0 lead. And it's like, okay, Hunter.
Wait, that's a data point? what about the 17 unanswered that were scored against them? Do we not count that? Like,
yeah. Oh, man. It's like it'd be so much better if they just admitted the truth of, like, we realized we had a problem here, so we flipped them in the rankings. But I don't know. Maybe they feel like they can't do that. But what's going to be most interesting is, like, what if Alabama loses by, like, 14 points? Where
you know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.